Good morning. I appreciate you all being here on this last few dregs of our last day of the conference. As Jennifer said, my name is Amanda Faulkner, and this morning I'm going to be sharing with you some of the changes that have occurred in pertussis diagnostic testing between 1990 and 2008. And although I'm sure most of you are familiar with pertussis, I'll just give a brief background. Pertussis is a poorly controlled bacterial vaccine-preventable disease which is caused by the bacterium Bordetella pertussis. Bordetella pertussis is a fastidious gram-negative bacteria, and disease commonly occurs in cycles, with peaks typically occurring in 3 to 5 year intervals. And although pertussis is vaccine preventable and vaccine coverage, particularly among children, is high, pertussis continues to be a significant public health problem. Next, I'd just like to give a brief overview of the pertussis diagnostic tests that are currently in use. Bacterial culture remains the gold standard in pertussis diagnostics, although its low sensitivity limits its use beyond the paroxysmal stage of the disease. Polymerase chain reaction, or PCR, has become a useful diagnostic tool for pertussis as well, although it too has limitations. And although not included in the CSTE case definition for pertussis, serologic testing for the disease has played a significant role, particularly in Massachusetts, which is the only state whose serology results are officially used for case confirmation. Finally, the direct immunofluorescence antibody test, or DFA, has often been used in tandem with culture and is a valid diagnostic test. However, DFA is not included in the case definition for pertussis either. Diagnostic tests for pertussis also play a large role in how a case patient is ultimately classified. Note that PCR and culture are the only available diagnostics currently included in the case definition. PCR and epidemiologically linked cases were added to the case definition in 1997, and no additional changes have been made to date. This graph illustrates the total number of confirmed and probable cases of pertussis reported to the National Notifiable Diseases Surveillance System between 1990 and 2008. A combination of factors likely contributes to the increasing number of pertussis cases reported over time to CDC. Inclusion of PCR in the CSTE case definition allowed states to capture more cases, in part because of the test's ability to yield rapid results. Additionally, surveillance capacity and outbreak response has improved over time, increasing the overall number of reported cases, and a large proportion of this increase has occurred in adolescents and adults, and waning immunity has likely contributed to this trend as well. All probable and confirmed cases of pertussis reported to NNDSS between 1990 and 2008 were included in this analysis. Each laboratory test that was performed and reported for a given case was identified. And it's important to note that positive, negative, and indeterminate reports indicated that a test had been performed. Thus, this analysis does not merely represent positive tests that were used to officially confirm the disease. By including all test reports, our hope was to assess provider preferences for diagnostic testing. Merely including positive tests would not have shown comprehensive diagnostic testing trends. This graph represents the proportion of all reported pertussis cases tested by a specific diagnostic tool, which is then overlaid on the incidence of pertussis. Note that the denominator for the left axis is the total number of cases of pertussis reported, which includes those cases whose lab results were unknown, as well as individuals who reported single and multiple diagnostic test results. Thus, an individual may be counted twice if he or she had more than one type of test reported, and the sum of the proportions may exceed 100%. A significant proportion of cases are reported with unknown or missing test results, which is represented by the dashed white line. Included in this category are probable cases, those that were epidemiologically linked to a lab-confirmed case, and those who were reported as confirmed but who failed to report a lab result. This proportion has remained relatively stable, but has steadily made up more than 30% of cases since 2000. And for those cases with known laboratory results, however, there have been some significant changes in testing trends over the last two decades. Until 1995, DFA and culture, which are shown in blue and red respectively, were the only diagnostic tests reported to CDC. Use of culture peaked in 1993, when 59% of cases reported a culture result. And between 1993 and 2008, use of culture in DFA declined significantly. The proportion of culture tests reported decreased to just 12% in 2008, while DFA fell from 68% in 1993 to just 2% in 2008. And although the proportion of cases reporting culture in DFA results has declined substantially, the actual number of culture results reported has not changed that significantly, which may be evidenced when one considers the increase in the incidence of pertussis between 1990 and 2008. In contrast, use of PCR, which is shown in green, has significantly increased since 1997. The important thing to notice here is that as PCR began to increase, there has been a concurrent decrease in the use of culture, indicating that PCR has now replaced culture as the predominant diagnostic testing method for pertussis. Serologic testing for pertussis, represented by the gold line, has fluctuated over time, although currently it is used nearly as often as culture for identification of pertussis. For the year 2008, we've provided a breakdown of test type by age group. Again, this graph clearly shows that PCR, which is shown by the green bar, has become the test of choice for pertussis. It's important to note that use of serology, which is represented in purple, contributes substantially to the 19 years and older age group. Serotesting for pertussis is thought to be possibly compromised by recent vaccination and historically has not been recommended for use in those under 11 years of age. The greatest number of culture tests reported, shown in red, is seen in the infant age group. Although one might expect it to contribute an even larger proportion of the tests reported in this age, given its particular usefulness among infants who are usually seen earlier in the course of their illness. Finally, the white bar represents the number of individuals for whom no test result was submitted. Notice that the infant age group has the smallest proportion of cases with no test reported. In comparison to all other ages, infants are more likely to be lab tested for pertussis, while adolescents and adults in particular are often identified through outbreak and cluster investigations. Now, I know this graph may seem somewhat distracting at first and you may not be used to this type of presentation, but it does illustrate a number of interesting trends which I'll try to explain clearly. For each year, the total number of individual tests as well as combined testing methods is represented as a proportion of the total number of reported tests in that given year. The orange area at the top of the graph represents the proportion of tests in which more than one testing method was used for a case. For example, if an individual had both culture and DFA testing done, they would be represented by the orange area. And by contrast, the remaining colors each represent cases in which a single test type was used for diagnosis. As you can clearly see, the orange area, those cases with multiple testing methods reported, has decreased over the last several years. And we're now seeing a trend toward reporting a case based on a single diagnostic test. In 2008 alone, 85% of all cases with known laboratory results reported only one test type. And of that 85%, almost three quarters was contributed by PCR, which is shown clearly by the large green area on the right side of the graph. So now, if you'll recall the orange section from the previous graph, this graph delineates the most common multiple testing methods that have been reported to CDC. Culture and DFA combined, shown in the blue area, was the most predominant test combination until 2004. In 2004 and 2005, a number of outbreak-related cases were identified largely through the use of PCR, and this may have caused a shift from the combined use of culture with DFA to culture with PCR, which is shown in the green area. The gray area shows those test combinations other than culture with DFA or culture and PCR, and for example, this may include serology plus PCR or serology and culture, et cetera. Now that we've looked closely at the changing trends in culture and PCR, we want to focus specifically on serologic testing. Historically, Massachusetts has contributed the greatest proportion and overall number of serologic test results each year. However, this graph illustrates how the total number of serology tests are increasing, which is illustrated by the white line, as well as the proportion of tests reported by states other than Massachusetts. The colored areas represent the proportion of all serology tests reported by geographic area. Serology cases reported by Massachusetts are presented in blue, and the rest of the country is represented by the orange area. While Massachusetts reported the greatest proportion of cases throughout the 1990s, the remaining U.S. has contributed an increasing proportion of the reported serology results in the last decade. As of 2008, Massachusetts reported only 35% of all serology results. Of note, Massachusetts has seen very low numbers of pertussis in the last 2 years, which may partly explain this later trend. Although there is no standardized or validated serologic test commercially available, it is evident that this diagnostic test is being utilized with greater frequency nationwide. So from this analysis, we've identified three key findings. First, PCR is now the dominant diagnostic test for pertussis. Second, the use of multiple testing types for diagnosis has decreased in the last several years. And finally, serology is being used in a significant proportion of states for identification of pertussis. Given the increase in PCR testing, it is important to understand this diagnostic tool's strengths and weaknesses. Compared to culture, PCR has much higher sensitivity, although its specificity is somewhat reduced. Results can be obtained same day, making PCR a much faster diagnostic process. And additionally, the pertussis organism does not have to be viable in order to be recognized. Finally, PCR is not as affected by recent immunization or antibiotic treatment in comparison to other testing methodologies. While these attributes are certainly beneficial, there are some significant drawbacks to PCR as well. Perhaps most significantly, PCR methodology is not standardized. Currently, there are no uniform reagents, and likewise, laboratory interpretation of results differs. The combination of these factors increases interlaboratory variability. Labs who use only one target may inaccurately identify various Bordetella species as pertussis, and PCR is not currently useful past 4 weeks of symptom onset and may therefore fail to identify individuals who present late in the course of their disease. Additionally, PCR is subject to significant risk for yielding false positives, and contamination may occur at both the clinic and the laboratory. This last point is supported by numerous reports in the pertussis diagnostic literature and has been associated with a number of pseudo-outbreaks which have been presented in MMWR. In situations where culture and PCR are not appropriate, particularly in the later stages of disease, serology is useful in identifying pertussis cases. Serology also is less affected by antibiotic treatment than the previously mentioned tests. That being said, there are certainly challenges associated with serologic assays for pertussis. Similar to PCR, there is no standardized serology kit available. Serologic tests may be confounded by a patient's recent immunization. And additionally, the usefulness of serology is limited to the paroxysmal and convalescent stage of the disease and cannot be used in the 2 weeks immediately following symptom onset. And finally, from a surveillance perspective, serology has not been included in the CSTE case definition outside of Massachusetts to date, complicating case classification. This is a visual representation of diagnostic testing in relation to the stages of pertussis. Note that the timeline is represented in weeks. Bacterial culture, as you can see, is most useful in the 2 weeks immediately following symptom onset. Similarly, PCR can be used for diagnosis just following symptom onset and has sufficient sensitivity, albeit somewhat reduced, to diagnose the disease a few weeks into the paroxysmal stage. Serology, however, is not useful during the first few weeks post-symptom onset, but has the ability to identify pertussis from 2 weeks after symptoms and into convalescence. This diagram clearly shows that there is no one perfect test for diagnosing pertussis. And although PCR is relied upon heavily at present, particularly in outbreak settings, obtaining culture confirmation remains extremely important to ensure that control measures are taken appropriately. Given the many difficulties associated with pertussis diagnostic tests, CDC is committed to actively improving our understanding of these tests while working toward making better, more reliable tools available. CDC has developed a multi-target PCR assay for improved identification of pertussis, which reduces the chances of yielding false positive results. Additionally, the CDC Pertussis Lab, in collaboration with FDA, has created a comprehensive serologic kit, which has been very successful and appears to be less affected by vaccine titers. And for the last 3 years, CDC, in collaboration with several states and medical centers, has been working on a pertussis clinical validation study in order to validate the two previously mentioned tests. CDC has also worked to provide guidance for pertussis diagnostics, most recently through an APHL webinar training that was offered to state public health laboratories. In addition, CDC will be providing hands-on laboratory training in pertussis testing for labs who participated in the webinar, which will be held in early October. CDC also plans to reassess the CSTE pertussis case definition to determine what necessary changes should be made to better reflect the current state of pertussis diagnostics and surveillance activities. Of particular note, we'd really like to be able to address how to deal with difficult PCR results that currently are not addressed in the CSTE case definition. And to conclude, I'd just like to emphasize a few key points. First, currently there is no single lab test that can confidently stand alone for diagnosing pertussis. As we learn more about best practices for PCR, clinicians and laboratory personnel should adopt more standardized and improved specimen collection and PCR testing methods as they become available. We know that serology is a useful tool for identifying pertussis in the later stages of disease, particularly among adolescents and adults. And we feel strongly that consideration should be given to including validated serologic testing for pertussis in the CSTE case definition when they are available. And finally, until we can identify a test that can adequately stand alone for pertussis testing, laboratories should maintain their ability to perform bacterial culture for pertussis, as it remains the most specific testing method available and can avoid unnecessary, costly public health response. And finally, I'd just like to thank everyone who works on pertussis in our group at CDC, both in our EPI team and our laboratory. Thank you.